Morning, Water Dam.
Morning.
It's good to be with all of you. I was thinking about what people were saying. I was thinking about the first time I came here, and I had my sermon all set up, and I was inviting some guys that were in construction up here, and the thing was I felt a lot of pressure to be really good the first time out because they were going to vote on me, and I just remember what it was like to have my PowerPoint all set up, and I'd been around Pete Brooks at the National Convention up in Pittsburgh, had great graphics, came here, no power. What an omen. What an omen, right? Nothing that I could rely on. I had to rely on God's strength, God's power. And just been thankful for all the years. I want to say thank you to Marge, who is our administrative assistant. As you saw, we honored her a day late. That was my fault. It was in my calendar, but I looked at it wrong, and I got it on the wrong day. And I was all excited because I thought I had not forgotten it this year. But I appreciate, Marge, you have several hundred comments of people that love you. Don't we love her? What's really powerful about the church is that Dan and Marge have always been around and been faithful to me and talking to me and helping me, but they've just always been there for the church body. I think of Marge, and I remember the first time I saw Marge cleaning out coffee pots out in the sink of the hallway there, and she's just been so faithful to do anything for anyone. The first one to care about anybody, goes to people's houses, visits, makes calls. She does more than just be the secretary of the church. So I'm so thankful for her and all she does. So thanks, Marge, for everything. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for the church. We ask, Lord, that you would bless our time together. Today, as we celebrate the opportunity, we celebrate the past, and we think about building into the future. And Lord, we know that that's what the body is to do. If it's healthy, it's going to grow. As each part does its work, the body grows into a living temple for your spirit. God, thank you for your word that teaches us and instructs us for our life and corrects us from wrongdoing. But Lord, it does more than that. It brings us salvation through Jesus Christ. It tells us about salvation. It doesn't just make us nice people. It's utterly concerned with our salvation and of our eternal destiny. So, Father, we thank you for the promise of heaven and the opportunity that Christ brings in us, through us, and to us. We pray, God, for your help now as we study your word and think about your church and meditate on it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we are celebrating the past and we are building into the future. The text I chose today includes the theme verse that Water Dam chose in 1996 when the building was first built. It was actually in the minutes that Pete Brooks had mentioned it. It was the Phillips translation of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22. You are all part of this building in which God himself lives by his Spirit. Now, if that rolls off of you real easily, you need to go back and look at it and think about it. The very fact that God's Spirit dwells in us, that he lives in us, that we are part of a building that God dwells in, is an amazing aspect to our salvation, that God gives us his good deposit of his Holy Spirit, that he says you are all a part of that. Well, the church is the community of all true believers for all time. It's not just the people that are alive today. The church is the community of all true believers for all time. That's what Wayne Grudem says. That is the church who made up of all men and women who have been born, who are all or ever will be true believers in Jesus Christ. When Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. He was referring to all the people Christ died to redeem. He didn't just mean those who were alive after Christ. He had died after Christ had died, but also those who looked to God for their salvation before Christ came to earth. Jesus said that he would call people to himself. A church is people who are called out of the world. The word church means ekklesia. Ekklesia means called out. What are you called out of? You're called out of the world. You're called out of darkness and into light. You're called out of the world to Christ. God has been calling people to himself since he called Adam and Eve and he brought them forth. He's been calling a people to himself. I have three headings for you this morning as we think about the church: family, foundation, and holy temple. And then some closing thoughts as we prepare to build into the future this morning. We said last week, church is a family to belong to, and you've heard that reiterated, embraced this morning. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, I don't know if you have your sword with you, your Bible. I hope you do. But if you don't, you can listen to me. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Members of the household of God. You're part of the family. The members of the household of God. Can you imagine that? You're a kid of the kingdom. You have refrigerator rights in the kingdom. You know what refrigerator rights are. When somebody comes to your house, they just go get in your refrigerator and they get into your stuff, right? They drink your pop. They eat your chips. They go get whatever they want. If I came to your house right now, would you give me refrigerator rights, Dwayne? All right, I just wanted to check. You were looking a little cross at me there. I was like, he's going to eat my chips if he comes. But you're part of the kingdom of God. You're members of his household. But have you ever thought about how do you become a part of that household? Some of us have been growing up that somebody has done something to us or for us. We call it baptism. We think we're just, that's how we were brought in. But that's not really how we're brought into the church. The Bible makes it very clear that we come as members of his household through adoption. Ephesians 1:4 says that he chose us before the creation of the world. I don't know about you, but I was adopted. I was adopted by my parents, and my mom said I was special. I was chosen, that I was chosen because I was special. How could they know I was special? I was a baby back then. They didn't know anything about me. They didn't know what I was going to be like. They didn't know what I would cost them in the long run. But they chose me before the creation. Well, not before the creation of the world, obviously. But they chose me before they even knew me. God chose us before the creation of the world. Figure that out. Even as he chose us in him, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. So God chose us. He adopted us. Peter says it this way in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, I want you to think about somebody. I want you to think about Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Nicodemus was a priest. He was a powerful priest. And he came to Jesus at night because he wanted to talk to him. He says, I can see that you're a man of God, and I want to talk to you. And he wants to talk to him about heaven. He wants to talk to him about coming into the kingdom. And Jesus says something very interesting. He said, you must be born again. He's talking to a priest who does all the right things, has done all the requirements of the law, who tries to fulfill the law, who tries to live out the law, but he fails miserably. He's a human being, right? He's in need of forgiveness of sins. And Jesus told him, you can't even enter in. You won't enter in the kingdom of heaven. You won't see the kingdom of heaven unless you're born again. Now, I reiterate that. How do you become a member of the household of God? Some of you are here. You have backgrounds that are different than ours. And I'm telling you by the word of God, by the authority of the word of God, that you must be born again. You must confess that you're a sinner. You must receive Jesus Christ. That's how you become part of the household of God. You cannot have access to the Father. In that verse 18, it says, we have access. How do we get access to the Father? We get access through Jesus Christ. So we are members of his household through adoption, but we're also by spiritual union. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire the possession of it, to the praise of his glory." So having believed, we receive the Holy Spirit. We were dead in our trespasses, the Bible says, before we received Christ. We must believe Jesus Christ. We must be members of his household, but we must come through his adoption plan. His adoption plan is through Jesus Christ. God chooses us, and we are adopted by the Father. We are received through a spiritual union that is through Jesus Christ. So what were you before you were a member of the church? Alistair Begg says this: "The church is not a human invention, but a divine institution. Membership is not a matter of external attachment." In other words, you come to Water Dam Church, you want to join the church, you must come through Jesus Christ. We receive people into membership. You become a member of the local body of the church, but you can't really become a part of a local body. I don't care if it's Water Dam Church, First Baptist Church, Second Baptist Church, right on down the line. You can name any church you want. It doesn't matter if they receive you into their membership in their local church. You are not a part of the church of God until you receive Jesus Christ. He has to be a part of that confession. And that confession comes through God choosing you before the creation of time, that he makes you alive by his Spirit, and you, in your will, receive him as Lord and Savior. And you confess that you're a sinner. That's how you're made a member of the household of God. So listen to what he says. "The church is not a human invention, but a divine institution. Membership is not a matter of external attachment, but of a spiritual union." And just think about what you were before. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." But what happened? If you had your Bible with you right now, you could look at verse 4 and see what happened, because it tells you what happened. In verse 4, it says, but God interrupted that. It says, "being rich in his mercy, and because of the great love with which he has loved us." Because of his great love in which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Grace is unmerited favor. So that's what happened. Who you were before, you were a sinner like me. You were lost. You were without God, the Bible says, and without hope. But God, it says, came rich in mercy because of his great love, which he has loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, he says, "Remember that you were time when you were separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in this world. But now Christ Jesus, who you once were far off, has brought you near by the blood of Christ. His life was violently and sacrificially given over for us on our behalf." In verse 14, it says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down the flesh, dividing the wall of hostility." Now, here's what D.A. Carson says about this passage. He's telling us that Paul was trying to remind us here and to make us appreciate our salvation, our membership into the house of God. You ever take your parents for granted? You ever go into your refrigerator and your dad says, "That'll cost you $2. Lorenzo, does your dad ever tell you that? $2 for that pop. I could see your dad doing that. You kind of take it for granted. You can go in and get your refrigerator anytime you feel like it. You go in and your clothes are washed. Your dishes are done. Your clothes are folded and put away in your dresser drawers. This says something here that's interesting. What Paul is trying to do is to remember who you were. You're a member of the household of God. You're a kid of the kingdom. D.A. Carson says, Paul is trying to give us an appreciation of our salvation. If we see ourselves as objects of God's wrath, under God's wrath, doomed to experience God's wrath, then what I just said means much to you who understand this access we now have in one spirit. No longer strangers or aliens, members of the household of God. There's much to be joyful about. If we don't see ourselves under the wrath of God before we were saved, and we just see ourselves kind of collegially getting along with the man in the sky and trying to be, you know, the father, the grandfatherly figure of God, and that, yeah, I do a few bad things, and I'm just trying to get along and go along and get along with God, and I'm not doing some bad things. You think he just wants you to make you nice. I can tell you, friend, you will not appreciate what God is saying here. That is not what God is saying. Ultimately, God is not trying to make you nice. He's trying to make you alive. He's not trying to make bad people good. He's trying to make dead people alive. The good is the fruit of what happens from the root. And the root, you need to be rooted in Jesus Christ. So, that's our family, that we are a part of this family. We are members of his household, adopted before the creation of time, through a spiritual union. We are a family also built on a foundation. Jesus is the foundation that we are built on. He is the only salvation. When you look at your passage there in Ephesians chapter 20, in chapter 2, verse 20, it says, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets and God. Jesus is the foundation built, that we built on. The Word of God, Jesus is the cornerstone. He is the akrogenios. He is the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. He is set. And everything else is lined up around him. The walls, the inside walls, everything is lined up according to him. The akrogenios here is the primary foundation stone at the angle of the structure by which the architect fixes a standard for the bearings of the walls and the cross walls throughout, according to W.W. Lloyd. Belonging to the extreme corner, the chief cornerstone, Jesus is our cornerstone. He is the foundation. He is the cornerstone. In Ephesians chapter 2, we are to be built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 says, so we are no longer strangers and aliens. We fit together with this body of people. We come from different backgrounds, different experiences, and somehow God brings it all together, that we fit together. I use the example all the time of a box of nuts, chocolate-covered nuts, or a box of nuts that are assorted. Some of us are hard. We're hard in the middle. We're hard on the outside. Some of us are soft inside. We're hard on the outside, and we're soft. Some of us are just a bunch of nuts covered in chocolate. And Ann Smoke claims to be one of my nuts that's covered in chocolate. How do you make that all work? It's like building a building with all these different parts that really don't fit together. God does something so that we are no longer strangers and aliens. That somehow we didn't want to come in here. You heard Becky, didn't want to come in. That God in his spirit brings us together and fits us together. Rightly fits us together and lines us up through the power of the Holy Spirit and puts us together. Jesus is the foundation. Jesus is the cornerstone. Jesus is the head of the church. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23, he is called the head of the church. Jesus is also the body. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23. No one can lay a foundation, Paul said to the Corinthians, other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on a foundation with gold, silver, or precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become manifest for the day, and the day will disclose it. In other words, there's going to be a judgment by fire. We must build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. He is the head. For by him all things, Colossians 1:16 says, were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and that everything he might be preeminent. So we have a family, we have a foundation, and we're being built into a temple. You are chosen by the Father to be a member of his family. You're a kid of his kingdom. You're formed on a foundation, but you're growing into a holy temple. Ephesians 2, verse 20 says, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure is being held together, grows into a holy temple for the Lord, a building, an oikodome. And when we think about that, we're built into the holy temple of the Lord. The Greek meaning of the word is the holy of holies, the place where the priest used to go once a year to offer up for the sins of the people, for the nation, to offer ask for forgiveness, and to consecrate the people, to find grace and mercy in their time of need. We become that holy of holies where God's spirit dwells. It says in verse 22, in him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God, a building, a temple for God. We are living stones, Peter says. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Listen to what this says. A family with access to the Father, God has put his spirit in our hearts. He has fashioned us on a foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the cornerstone. And we are growing into a holy temple with all of the challenges that come from being a part of the family of God. Brothers and sisters trying to get along. What will bring unity? Only by the power of God, only by his spirit can we become a building, a holy temple, a cod, a living stone in his building. We have differences, and yet God fashions us together. You cannot have a kingdom without a king. A family needs a father. A building needs bricks. So now God is building a spiritual temple that he dwells in among his people. We are fellow citizens in the kingdom, Alistair Begg says. We are brothers and sisters living in a family. We are living stones built into a building. And we are growing because healthy things grow. The Bible says that healthy things grow as each part does its work. That's how we grow. We are transforming lives through Jesus Christ. We have a family. We have building and formed on a foundation. And we are built into a holy temple, the temple of God, and living stones. Living stones. So what are we supposed to do now as we think about transforming lives through Jesus Christ? Well, we have a picture here of a welcome center. We do this through intimacy with God and community with one another and impact in the world with the gospel. Why do we call that a welcome center? Why do we call that an entrance? We call that an entrance because we want people to enter in. We are inviting them to be a part of this body here called Water Dam Church. But how do we grow as a body? When each part does its work, the body is supposed to grow. In verse 4, chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 16, it says, from the whole body joined and held together by every joint which it is equipped, with each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So it's a natural thing that we grow as each part does its work. You know what they say about most churches? That only about 20% of the people do 80% of the work. I don't believe that about Water Dam. I think we're better than that, actually. I think there's a lot of people here that do a lot of work. There's a lot of people in the back that do a lot of work. They're taking care of our kids right now. That you are a part of something that when every part is doing its work, people feel the embrace of God. They feel the love of God. That's what we want people to feel. We want to invite people to feel that sense of love that we know that is God's love. We welcome people. We want them to come into the entrance. Well, what happens when we come into the building? When we come into the building, we want to station people there. Let's go to the next slide. I thought about putting some faces up there and some and putting Bill Bush and Evelyn Bush there, or Ellen Bush, or Ellen Williams, and I could put them, or I could put the whole all the people that have greeted. I could just splash them all over the place up there. But one of the things about a greeter is they're to meet the people and welcome them into God's church family. That's what we call them. We call them greeters. They're assigned there because we want them to demonstrate God's love. We want them to speak love into their life and remember who they were before without God, without hope, feeling alienated from people, feeling like a stranger. You ever felt like a stranger in your own home? Nobody's talking to you. You're kind of left out. You don't know whether you have refrigerator rights anymore or not. You don't know whether your mom and dad like you anymore. You feel like they want you to kick you out. Well, I felt that way. Maybe you didn't feel that way. I was adopted. I had it rough. Actually, my mom never wanted me to leave. And we want people to feel that way here. We want them to feel loved. We want them to want to come in and be a part of that. We want them to be to come to know God, intimacy with God. We want them to have a growing relationship with God. We want them to grow in their relationship with the body of Christ. That's the community with one another part. And we want them to be impacted in the world, be in the world, impacting other people with the gospel. How does that happen? Well, it happens when people understand their part, that they're not just greeters, but they're ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And so we want people that are standing at the door to know that people who have been out there in the world are coming in out of the world, that the church is an outpost of heaven, that we are his ambassadors, and that people need refuge. They need to be saved. They need to have a sense of hope, because this passage says without God, they are without hope and they feel like a stranger. They don't feel like a fellow citizen. And that we have the opportunity to invite them in, to come into the presence of the living God. We want them to feel, see, touch Jesus through the living incarnation of Jesus in the Spirit of God inside of each believer. Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. We want them to see that fruit. Next thing you know, you're going to be traveling down the hallway. You're going to be invited to come back into the hallway there. You seek to know God. Awesome. You bring your family. You bring a friend. Your greatest need is to know God. So we have classrooms there so that you can come to know God. And you're invited in to come to know God, and you're to bring your children, you're to bring your family, you're to bring your friends. You want them to know God and be forgiven and find a family. Life flow is about life. It's primarily about the relationship, the first relationship that matters most is our relationship with God and loving him and everything we have. And you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. And the second relationship is that God longs to restore with you and others, to love others as yourself. As we love others, the love flows from a harmonious relationship we now have with God and ourselves. And we're better able to give away that love that's within us. It is within the context that we believe the Great Commission is given. And we are commanded by Jesus to make disciples from the vantage point of community, coming together and knowing God. And then you're going to want to go downstairs. Everything about the building, as you walk deeper into with us and with God, we want people to know and become a part of the body of Christ. Because they are a part, not just of as an individual, they are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession. We want everything about the building to say something about God. So you see the crosses and the light that comes in. God says that you've been called out of darkness into marvelous light. You see the light shining through the window, and you notice something different about some of the windows that have a cross. The building is a tool to glorify God. And lastly, you get down to the bottom part. We not only believe, we want to belong, and we're formed for a fellowship. And we are fellow citizens of the kingdom of heaven. So we invite people into what we call fellowship. We invite them into a common room where we do family life and we share some of the most intimate moments that we have with one another in those times. Whether it be a baby shower, a funeral dinner, a marriage supper, whatever it is, we celebrate our fellowship because we belong to the kingdom. We are fellow citizens. We are brothers and sisters. We are living stones living in a building that is built by God. And we are growing and healthy things grow. Family formed on a foundation into a holy temple so that God's Spirit may dwell in us and through us be incarnated to other people. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this. We ask you to bless our time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.